Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. You're so busy, you need to rest. You need a holiday. You need to take some time out for yourself, etc., etc., etc. I've heard this so many times, and actually, to some extent, it kind of annoys me, I'm not gonna lie. Because it makes me wonder, what does rest even mean? Like, I'm sleeping every day. Surely there's more to the story. So before we even get into it, and before I even go deeper, let's actually take a step back a bit. So someone else asked me in the question box, how do you navigate burnout and the need to always perform? And I thought this was a great question, especially now that we're in a winter season, we're coming up to the end of the year, and it's time to really follow nature and be in a hibernation mode where we start to take stock of where we've been and prepare for the spring that is coming. Now, I could easily say that all you need to do is like make sure you're resting more and you're just like sleeping and going to the spa, maybe book a holiday. All those things are great, but that's not what has actually helped me answer this question in my life around burnout, around the need to perform, around this busy treadmill of life that we're all on. There's so much going on. There's so many responsibilities. We live in a society that really values productivity, and you can kind of fill up your to-do list with an endless amount of things, and suddenly you're like, wait, where has the time gone? Do I have the ability to continue this? Why am I so tired? And suddenly things come to a screeching halt. So one of the things that has helped me beyond those exceptional luxuries, which is what I'm going to call them, so things like going on a holiday or taking a staycation even, or, you know, going to the spa or doing all these things that are supposed to be exceptional treats, which are important, but I found that actually being able to try and habitualize the way that I navigate things like burnout, the need to perform, embracing rest, moving them away from like these projects or these exceptional luxuries or these exceptional moments and trying to integrate that into my weekly slash daily life has actually been more effective in the long run than these special treats, because they're treats. I shouldn't have to wait, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a year to leave the country or to take a staycation. I shouldn't have to do that. There are 365 days in a year and I'm only gonna take 3 breaks. That doesn't sound quite right. And for me, the way that I've been able to embed this into my more quote-unquote normal life has been through the life-changing power of practicing the Sabbath. But maybe not as you know it. I think sometimes we hear the word Sabbath and it sounds really old school. It sounds like you just like lie there and do nothing. Or maybe it sounds like super spiritual and you're like, oh my gosh, like what is it? Is it like a ritual? Like how does this work? And I think it has an aspect and it has the qualities of some of these things. It is spiritual, definitely. It does involve, you know, really putting a break on all the normal stuff. But I don't think it's as lie down in a hammock and do nothing and just kind of waste away for the whole day as it can sometimes think, feel, or sound. So I'm going to really just share my experience of truly being strict on myself and practicing a Sabbath and what I've learned from it. The benefits that have come out of it that helped me to really understand why this is such a focal point of discussion and why it's been encoded in especially Abrahamic religions in this way or in that language, and I think why it's so significant and so important. So I started practicing the Sabbath, or I tried to. I just tried to do it literally. As I've said before in other episodes, I just tried to live my life as if the spiritual texts that I follow and that I think are important, I just try and live as if they're true. So I don't try and over intellectualize it or complicate it. If it says, you know, on the seventh day God rested and there's like a blank and there's no outline of activity, then I just think, okay, I'm gonna pick a day and I'm going to just not do the things that I normally do on those other 6 days, right? It was just that simple. So in 2020, I tried to do this, and it was a time where I was in a really demanding job and also side hustle situation. When I say demanding, I literally mean to the point of, I remember there was a week where I was having terrible, terrible stomach pain, and I don't really get sick. I'm not like a very sickly person, and My stomach was in searing pain. I was nauseous. I thought I might have COVID because apparently at that point there was some discussion around like one of the symptoms of COVID, like being stomach pain. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't really go to work. And I was just thinking, why is this happening to me? What is going on? And I went to the hospital and I did all the tests. I didn't have anything. I just had stomach inflammation and I was put on a drip. I stayed there overnight, came home in the morning and was just told to rest. And during that exact time, I remember this was like summer 2020, so much was going on at work, you know, social upheaval. I have always worked in media and marketing, so while everybody else in the pandemic was like, we're on a break from work and it's really chilled. If you worked in the internet or if you worked in media or if you worked in marketing, it was the busiest time of my life. Busier than me working in corporate, busier than me working in finance on big deals. Like it was just the craziest thing. And you know, for many of us, I think, especially if you're listening to this, just from understanding some of the people in my community, I definitely think that if you've always worked hard, like me, I've always been someone who's worked hard. When we talk about the need to perform, we know what we're talking about. Like we know, we may not even have it consciously. We may not wake up every day saying like, I need to show myself that I can perform, but subconsciously it's definitely there. And that's something that I've had to really understand and like come to terms with. And I reflect on it, you know, growing up prior to university, but just like through school and things, like just having this thing to always like not just be the top of your class, but the top of the country. Like that's an extreme version, but I was in environments where everybody was incredible. In school, it makes sense. You know, you've got 100% that you need to get, or you've got an A star that you need to score, or I think a grade 9 is what they call it now, in school. And you kind of know what to do. You know that if I learn these 20 different topics inside out, I can pretty much score it. But when you transpose that to life, life is not like that at all. Having that ingrained in your subconscious doesn't make you the most relaxed person when you grow up and you go into the real world, and that it's not about grades and it's just about your contribution. Life isn't clear cut, and suddenly you get lost in this like cycle of trying to use the techniques that you used in school because that's what you've learned, and they don't work because even if you try your hardest, there is no top to reach. So it's like this constant battle to reach the top, which is exhausting, right? So that's kind of like my context and where it was coming from for me. So I tried in 2020, then I had loads of change. I quit my job, I started a business, I moved house, like so much was going on. And it was only this year that I came back and I was like, I'm gonna try this again. I'm gonna really try and stick to this Sabbath concept. And like I said, I try to not make it too dramatic. I just say, on this day, which is typically Saturdays for me, I am not going to open my laptop. I'm not gonna do any work. I am just going to do everything else that doesn't pertain to work. So I really try my best not to even open my laptop to watch like YouTube things. I will try and switch on the TV or use another device. I will try not to actually use any devices that are related to work, just so that my subconscious doesn't suddenly slip into like, oh, there's emails. And it's not always perfect, but that is where I start from. And it has benefited me so much. I would say that it's the one thing this year. I may take this back when I do my things I've learned in 2022, but off the top of my head, it's the one thing this year that has really completely transformed my whole life, wellness, spiritual, mental health experience. So yeah, I went cold turkey, and as I said, it's typically on Saturdays. I'll do nothing. I will change a profile on my phone. So you know how you can have like sleep mode, personal mode, work mode on iPhones. I'll change that. It'll be a non-negotiable. So if for some reason I have to work on Saturday, so if I've got a client event and I have to be out the house, then I will make sure that I try and make up that day on Sunday or another day in the week where I might be able to find some time. But I try my best to have a Sabbath every single week. And it sounded really scary and unrealistic at first, which is natural if you're in this constant cycle of like working and feeling like there's not enough hours in the day. And if you feel like that, if what I'm saying already makes you feel like, this is unrealistic, like I can't find the time, then this is really for you. I want you to actually listen even more. If you feel like there's not enough time in the week for you to then take out a whole day of a Sabbath, then you absolutely are the number one perfect candidate to try this out. And I promise you, you will find it beneficial. So how is it? Why is it beneficial? What have I learned through this exercise? In summary, I would say that choosing to adopt a Sabbath actually breaks the bad cycles and habits that we have in our lives, and it creates so much more space for us to pour in. That's it in a nutshell. I'm going to go into it in a bit deeper, but that is what you need to just kind of keep in mind, right? So I've got probably 5 or 6 different ways that it breaks down or creates space that literally have the key to getting you to where you need to be. So let's get into it. The first thing that a Sabbath will do is that it will break your cycle of overwork. So you know the saying, it takes 21 days to make a habit? Well, imagine yourself in this scenario. There's 30 odd days in a month, right? Imagine if you're in this constant cycle of like, I need to work, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. By the time you've got to day 22 of the month, you've created a habit of constantly feeling like you have stuff to do. Naturally, having a break every 7 days will keep you from getting into these addictive, terrible habits in the first place. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God, like how lovely are you, right? That you've created the space for us to break a cycle of overwork. And when that cycle of overwork is broken, it also reduces like this sense of urgency. So I used to wake up in the morning, and it still happens. I say I used to, but I would wake up in the morning and I think, oh my gosh, it's 7 o'clock. It's 7 a.m. I'm behind, I'm late. Like these are all the things I need to do. I need to get up out of my bed and like start in a frenzy because I was in this cycle of overwork. And that is not a way to live. That is not a life. You don't wake up and suddenly feel behind. When you wake up and you already feel like you're on the back foot, it's not the best energy to attack the day with. It's not the best energy to bring your whole self to. You already feel like you're like scrambling. And a scrambling person operates from a scarcity mindset. Someone who operates from a scarcity mindset will sell themselves short every time because they already feel like they're on the back foot where they're not. Connected to that scarcity mindset and the sense of urgency is, if I don't do this right now, I'm gonna miss out. I'm gonna miss out on an opportunity. I'm gonna miss out on money. I'm gonna miss out on showing that I'm worthy. I'm gonna miss out on affirming that I can actually do this. And that cycle of FOMO is something that needs to be broken. All of that is a cycle of FOMO. And the reason why none of that is true is because it doesn't ever start from you. And this is something that taking a Sabbath has really helped me remember. By breaking the cycle of fear of missing out, by breaking the cycle of feeling like if I don't do this, I'm not gonna earn money, or I'm not gonna be able to build the career that I want, or I'm not gonna be able to fulfill my purpose, etc., etc. Taking a break reminds you whose role it really is to take these things into perfect completion, right? Let me break it down in a bit more detail. Galatians 3:3, which is in the Bible for those who may not know, says, are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? And this for me encapsulates everything that I'm saying in terms of breaking the cycle of FOMO. Because for me, if you're always in this position of like, if I don't do XYZ, I'm not going to advance my career, it completely overlooks the fact that am I the person who kickstarted my career to begin with? And this might be a hot topic, like this might be something that you think the answer is yes to. For me, I know that everything that I have been graced with and given the opportunity to have has not started from me. It started by the Spirit, it started from God. So why am I trying to use all my efforts, which are limited because I can't see the future, I don't know everything, I'm still learning, why am I trying to force my hand to do and execute everything? Isn't the point of me personally trusting in God and knowing God the fact that I get to work in partnership with Him? So why am I putting all this pressure on myself? This is one of the key things that opens my mind and reminds me that it's not all about me. And I don't want it to be all about me because the pressure is way, way too much. It reminds me of who's really in control and how everything actually comes from God. Everything starts in the Spirit before it manifests in the physical. It's almost like a test of your faith in its own way, right? So I always remember it's Psalm 20, I think, verse 7, that says, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Some trust in their efforts, some trust in their connections, some trust in what they can post on social media, but ultimately my trust is in the name of my God. That doesn't mean that I don't do all those things, I don't put effort in, but it means that that's not the thing that is the foundation from which I operate from. Instead, they're tools, but they're not the thing that I put my trust in. And it's a really strong mirror that gets held up to you when you're in this moment moment of taking the Sabbath, because you're basically faced with the question of, do I really believe that God's got me and that God is kicking this off and I'm working with him? Or do I believe that it's all in my hands? And what does that mean then if it's all in my hands? Do I think I have all the answers? Do I want to have all the answers? Do I want all this pressure to fall on me? Personally, I'd rather have a bit of support. Being able to break the cycle of overwork and overperformance by having a Sabbath, for me, is a perfect exercise of trust. And when I say exercise, I mean that in the most literal sense, in the sense that I am practicing the art of trusting in the spiritual, trusting in that which I can't see, trusting in the words that God has given me, trusting in the fact that it's not all by my might, because to be honest, I'm not even strong enough to carry it out. I get tired. I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes. So trusting in the fact that actually outside of whatever I take a step back from, that God will continue to bring this into perfect completion as time goes on. And when we talk about this idea of trusting God and bringing it to perfect completion, I remember a tweet that one of my friends put out, which says, whenever I feel like I don't have time to pray, the Holy Spirit reminds me that he is the redeemer of time. And this whole idea of like, oh, I don't have time because I'm so busy. It's like, well, the Holy Spirit is the redeemer. Redeemer means the one who pays back, the one who saves. That is basically the one who accounts for everything that is lost. So if you're saying, you know, I don't have an hour, in her context, like I don't have 30 minutes to like just take a moment, meditate, pray. It's like all that productivity that you feel like you lost in that 30 minutes, the Holy Spirit can make it up in a moment, in a second, in an instant. And again, that might sound crazy, it might sound unrealistic, but that's why it's an exercise in trust, right? It's not supposed to sound like it's something that you understand and you can control, because you can't control it. So we've kind of talked about where the Sabbath creates a breaking point, where the Sabbath stops the cycle of overwork. It's not just about what you stop and what you remove, it's also about what gets created and what you can pour in. This is a major, major thing for me. So in terms of what it creates, the first thing that it creates space for mental clarity. For me, the Sabbath is the only time that I spend journaling, reading my Bible, praying with no time limit. Sometimes during the weekday when I do like my quiet time and like meditation, it's like a quick thing. You know that you're kind of on a schedule. You've probably got like 20 minutes. Let's keep it moving. Like there's stuff to do. On Saturdays, for me, which is my chosen Sabbath, there's something so freeing and so beautiful about having like no limits. I can just be free and just let things flow really organically. And when you let things flow organically, rather than coming to your meditation and prayer time with an agenda where you're like, yep, gotta get that done, and I'm gone, you create space to actually receive. You create space to get downloads from God. You create space to get new ideas. You create space to get new insights about things that you may not have even come to the table with on the agenda. So when people ask questions, and I get this question a lot, I think it was asked in my question box, which is like, oh, how are you so wise, or where these ideas come from? And I found that the only time where I feel like I get the best kind of ideas are when I'm in a place of being ready to receive. I don't come, you know, to my spiritual quiet time being like, yep, I want to have an amazing idea about so-and-so, because I haven't even conceived what so-and-so is. I'm there and I'm ready to receive from God, and I get new angles. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Go and listen to this. Go and read this. Go and ask this person about that. Stuff that I would have never conceived starts to come, but it only comes when you create space. In Revelation, it says, you know, that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And this idea that spiritual things, which are the basis of our human life, they don't force their way in. They're a still small voice. They're not going to shout in all of your busyness when you're so busy running from like meeting to meeting, scrolling halfway through, deciding where you might go for dinner the next week and trying to multitask. So the question is, how are you creating space to let the things of the Spirit fill you up and speak to you and give you a new angle of inspiration? It's in the space of mental clarity that I receive God drops that give me the clarity and confidence to go forward and go where I've not been before. And it reminds me of the parable in Matthew 12, 43 to 45, which basically says, like, when there's like a bad spirit in a house and it gets sent out, if that house is empty, more spirits will come in. And it makes me think about the fact that if you can clean up your house as much as you want, you can create a break in your overworking cycle. But if in that break, you're just like lying there, watching TV, for example, which is what I used to get frustrated about. People would be like, you need to just like go to the spa, like you need to sleep. And I'm like, that doesn't feel, it feels nice, but that doesn't feel like it's going to really help me in true burnout. Like that's not going to really help me from on a cellular level. That's not going to help my soul. what I realized was that in those spaces that I was creating for rest, I also needed to create space to fill myself up with something outside of working or outside of the need to perform. And that is the spiritual side of things. I think another thing that gets created when you take a Sabbath is the fact that you create some perspective, to be honest with you. Things don't feel as dire, as urgent, as overwhelming, as all-consuming as they once were. It puts everything back into context, into its proper order where needed. And prioritization is everything. I'm sure people have told you that in time management, but it's not just about time management. If we can prioritize every aspect of our lives, things start to fall into place with a lot more clarity. But you might be wondering, so is my Sabbath like a whole 24 hours of me just like floating and like praying and it's like all fine? No, I'm sure maybe one day it will be, but I don't think that's all that is characterized in that Sabbath moment. I think it's interesting that when we see the Sabbath first mentioned, it just says God rested. It doesn't kind of describe or prescribe what actually happens in that time. And I think it's because it's an open field. The other thing that gets created for me is capacity for creativity and learning. So all those books that I've got stacked up in my room or on my bookshelf, the interviews that I've seen, you know, throughout the week on YouTube that I want to watch, all those things, I start to actually read them, I digest them, and it gives me space to breathe. It gives space for ideas to marinate, to grow, to develop. And I really, really enjoy it because it's not squeezed between meetings or like a quick thing I'm going to watch on during my lunchtime, during work, and then go back to work and forget about everything. I can actually just take and digest like a true sponge. It's only when you digest truly and you internalize what you're learning that it can actually be valuable, right? So you want to create space for that. And then there's like the practical side of things as well. Like, it gets my life on track. You know, I am notorious at not reading my letters on time. If everything was an email, I'd be much better. I have so many physical letters that I need to get through. And again, on this day, it just helps me to just pick up life admin, texts, emails, reach out to people, build relationships, friends that I want to message, people that I want to build relationships with, communities that I want to get involved with. This is my time to think about who those people are. This is my time to sign up for stuff. This is my time to schedule my calendar in the week to look for how I'm going to volunteer in a particular place or take on some new lessons or do something new. And I think overall, what I have learned from the Sabbath is that I become a better person when I take my time. I become a better person when I break the cycle of overwork. I become a better person when I am freed from the sense of FOMO that if I don't keep working, I'm going to miss out on an opportunity, or I'm going to miss out on the ability to earn a living. I become a better person when there's space created for mental and spiritual clarity. I become a better person when I can receive God drops that actually sustain me for the weeks and the months to come. I become a better person when I'm finally digesting the lessons learned in the books that I haven't touched on my bookshelf for weeks and weeks because I haven't had enough time. I become a better person when I'm able to be intentional about my relationships because I finally created the space to actually think about them properly and treat people well. Those are the things that really make a difference when it comes to the Sabbath. It's not just practicing it so you can say that you've had a break and that you know how to rest. I think it's the fact that you create space to receive more and pour into yourself a bit more. And I think for me, moving forward, I'm thinking about how can I break this cycle every day? How can I create mini Sabbaths within my daily life? Is that making sure that I always cook from scratch at lunchtimes? Is that a daily walk? I know some people do that really well. Just how else am I cultivating like Sabbath behaviors in my daily life? But yeah, making sure that I stick to one day has really helped me a lot in the last few months. It's definitely something I would say try. If you're feeling skeptical still, you are the person that needs to listen to this podcast and try. If you know a friend who could benefit from this, do share it with them. I really think it's like one of the most transformative things that I have practiced in years. And yeah, the goal is to keep integrating Sabbath behaviors and Sabbath mindsets into this intense, busy life that we live. Thank you for listening as always. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear how you practice your Sabbath and how you spend your Sabbaths as well. And we will speak next week.